reading in verse number 16 tonight. We're going to go back to that verse, and then we're going to go throughout the Bible and see about the pride of life and what the Bible warns us against being prideful in the pride of life. As you study the pride of life, I believe tonight you may be, as I was, you may be shocked of how much the Lord is against the pride of life, how much he really doesn't like the pride of life, somebody that is prideful, somebody that is arrogant, somebody that is very boastful, prideful, self-conceited. Man, he is, as we study this tonight, he is very, very against that, and he shows where the downfall when a man or a woman or a church or a country or whatever you want to talk about gets to a prideful place. And tonight we'll look at that in the text. But if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn to 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 16. I ask you to stand. The pride of life. Tonight we've covered the first two, and tonight we'll finish up the third one tonight. The Bible says in verse number 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes," and here is where we're at tonight, "and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to come to your house. Lord God, there's been prayer requests mentioned over around the house tonight. And Lord, I pray for each and every one tonight. The ones that's been mentioned that has cancer and they found out this week, Lord, I ask you tonight to remove that in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you tonight to be with the ones that's been mentioned all over the house, the ones that's lost their homes to fire. Lord, I pray you be with them families. Lord, I pray tonight that you be with the ones that's had heart surgery this week. We've heard it all over the house tonight. I'd ask you to be with Brother John Stidham tonight, him and Sister Belinda, as they're in Tupelo. Lord, I'd pray that you would wrap your loving arms around them, just continue to hold them up. Father, I know you will, and I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that you just be with this church. I pray you be with the teachers that are teaching Awana tonight. And Lord, if there's something that I could just ask you tonight to hold away from this church, it would be the spirit of pride tonight, a pride of life. I pray you'd hold that away from here, Father, and we wouldn't be prideful, but we would be passionate about your work and do what you've called us to do. Father, I thank you for a group of people that will gather on a Wednesday night and study thus saith the Word of God. Father, I thank you for the two salvations last night at Broken Lives. Lord, I pray that you just use them men in a mighty way. I pray somebody come along beside them, Father, and help them out along this life's way. Father, I love you and I thank you. I ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you, nothing about me. I pray that the spirit that being here tonight would be the spirit of freedom. We'd have liberty to study your word. I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people see it. Amen. You may be seated tonight, the pride of life. And as we come here tonight, we understand these truths tonight that he come in there and he said that all sin that you'll find in an individual's life or you'll find in the world, it'll line up with these three. Number one, it'll either be the pride of that flesh tonight, that lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes. And then he comes to the third one, which is the pride of life. As we come to the third truth mentioned here, though, in the verse tonight, it is the one that can really be hard. I want you to get this tonight. This one tonight can really be hard for a person to see that it's in his or her life tonight. The pride of life is this. It's arrogance, self-worth, passion to be number one in your own power or your own strength. And I back it up with this. I truly believe, though, that a person should be proud of any accomplishment that they have in their life, but not to be prideful. It's okay to be thankful for what God's done in your life and what you've accomplished in your life, but when you get to that place and you get prideful with it and you get to that place and I get to that place where I get prideful, I want you to know destruction is coming. And tonight as we look at this text tonight, we understand that we must be aware of a prideful spirit. And I want to go tonight to the book of Proverbs as we're studying this tonight, and I want to look at what King Solomon said there in the Bible tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word, just turn on over to Proverbs chapter number 16 tonight, and we will look in verse number 18 about a prideful individual and what would be going on in our lives tonight. Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 18. You say, why do you go to Solomon tonight? Why do you go to Proverbs? Proverbs 1 and 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. He was a king, and as he wrote this in the book of Proverbs under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he understood what a prideful look or what what pride would do in somebody's life. If there's ever been a man that could get in a prideful place, or that had the authority, or would have the ability to get in a prideful place, it'd be King Solomon. He had everything. The Bible says there's not been a man had more wealth or had more worth than King Solomon. He had everything. And I want you to know, as we come in the book of Proverbs, he warns us against being prideful. You say, why is that, preacher? Number one tonight, as we look in this Proverbs 16:18, because pride brings destruction tonight. Pride brings destruction tonight. Look what the Bible says. Bible says in verse number 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we see that tonight, that destruction is what it brings tonight. That pride that would be in a person's life, it'll bring destruction. It would bring loss or complete devastation. And you say tonight, what is a prideful look? What is that pride that comes in somebody's life tonight? You know, it's very easy to detect tonight that when you see somebody prideful, but it's hard to detect when you're prideful. And tonight, to be prideful would be one that would be in their own self-power, their own self-control. What they got, they're just trying to do a little bit more. If you got something, they want something a little bit better. You ever seen that in a life tonight? Or maybe even in my life or your life tonight. And that pride brings destruction tonight. And I want you to get this. He says, or to fall, and he says it's that pride of destruction, or to fall in a believer's life. That haughty spirit would be this. It'd be a spirit of arrogance tonight. That they cannot be, they're unteachable, they're untrainable, they're untalkable to. You ever been around somebody that you couldn't talk to? You just couldn't get on their level. You couldn't sit down with them. They was arrogant in what they said and what they did. And tonight I look in the Bible and I think about falling to in a believer's life, that haughty spirit, that arrogance tonight. If you'll flip right with me tonight to Mark 14 tonight, I want to look at an individual that had that pride that brought destruction in his life. And that person tonight I'm talking about would be Peter. Oh, Peter had pride in his life. Oh, Peter, about like myself, he had opened his mouth and get in trouble. Can I get a witness this afternoon? And in Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 29, I want to show you this in the Bible. He says tonight that pride bringeth forth destruction, that pride of life. And oh, Peter had got there in his life. And you know what he did in Mark 14 and verse number 29? He had come to that place and Jesus told him he was going to have to go to the cross, and that he was going to be crucified, and he was going to have to die. And you know what old Peter said in verse number 29? And if this ain't a prideful spirit, I don't know what is tonight. He said this to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 29, he says, but Peter said unto him, Mark 14, 29, and Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. He said, and here's what he did. You're talking about a prideful spirit. Oh, Peter done got speaking for somebody else. He got speaking for the other men that was there. He said, Lord, these other men, they might deny you, they might go away from you, they might go against you, but I will not do it. He started speaking for what another man would do. That is pride tonight. And look what the Lord said. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, he said, today, Peter, I want you to know what you're saying, you better be careful. He said, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. He said, Peter, you don't even know what you're saying. You done got to a prideful place in your life. Have you ever looked at somebody and maybe they was in church and they was loving the Lord, and man, they was on fire, and it went long, they slipped back, and you may have seen them doing something that you didn't approve of or you didn't think was right, and wouldn't go long, you say, I can't believe they would do that. I can't believe they're doing that. If you're not careful, you'll hold yourself up here, and if you're not careful, you'll be right down where they are. Hey, that prideful look and that pride, it brings destruction. And look what he told the Lord in verse number 31. He's not telling nobody but the Lord this. And look what he says. He said, but he spoke more vehemently. That means he got fired up and he started telling Jesus, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. He said, you don't know what you're talking about, Lord. You don't know. I'm not prideful. I'm not in that place. But you know what the Lord said? He done told him. He said, you're going to deny me. And old Peter said, Lord, I may die, but I won't deny. And look what he says. I will not deny thee in any way. Likewise, also said they all. So every one of them done got on the bandwagon. And look what Jesus said. And they came, and look what he says in verse number 32. And they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, set ye here while I shall pray. Friends, tonight I want you to know that pride brings destruction in a person's life tonight. All that pride that's in a life, pride will take a person to a place where they will not listen. They get prideful in their life and they get to a place where they will not listen. If there's one thing that I can warn myself about, and I try to warn you about tonight. Never get to a place where you're prideful and you look down on another person tonight. Friends, tonight the Bible tells us that pride brings destruction in a person's life. Hey, but I see something else tonight. We're talking about the pride of life. And I want you to know tonight I'm very prideful in my life. I got some things that I'm proud of, but I try not to be prideful of. Does that make any sense tonight? Man, I am so proud of my son that the Lord has given me, and my daughter, and my wife, and my family. But you know what tonight? I know what? My family ain't no better than your family, and your family ain't no better than my family tonight. Tonight, I want you to know if you have a family tonight, and you have that tonight in your life, it's only by the grace of God tonight that you have that tonight. And I must not put my family above another person's family. I must treat everybody the same. If I don't, it'll bring destruction in a believer's life. But I see the second thing tonight, not only does pride bring destruction, but in the book of Proverbs, pride brings a person down. If you're not careful, when you get prideful, the Lord will bring that person down. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse number 23 tonight. He said that pride brings destruction, but also pride brings a person down. When you get to that place in your life, it'll start with destruction, and it won't be long in that prideful state, it'll just start going down. Tonight, when we get here in the book of Proverbs, John done told us to be careful of that pride of life. And when we get in the book of Proverbs, old Solomon, he says this, that pride will bring a person down. Look with me in verse number 23 of chapter 29, what the Bible says. He says, a man's pride, there he goes. He said, a man's pride tonight. He said, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So tonight, as we talk about how that pride brings a person down, you know what that'll do? It'll bring him to a low state. When he gets prideful in his life, it won't be long. You'll look around that individual, and there'll be nobody around him. He'll be all alone. The friends he used to have, they won't be there, because no one likes to be around a person that is prideful. And when we get in the book of John, and he gave us three things that he warned us about tonight, he said, the pride of life. We must be careful and not get prideful. And tonight as we get here, he said it'll bring you low and it'll bring you down. And I wrote this down tonight. A prideful person is difficult to be around. A prideful person is difficult to be around. Here's what a prideful person does. They say things that they shouldn't say. They boast about things that they shouldn't boast about. And they want things that they should not be wanting. And they try to buy things and get things that they can't afford or they cannot obtain. And tonight, as I talk about that and I think about that, the pride, tonight I want you to get this, and I want you to know how dangerous pride is tonight. Did you know tonight that pride is an abomination? Now, okay, homosexuality, preacher, is an abomination. Yes, we understand these things, but I want you to know how serious pride is tonight. Pride is an abomination, is what the Bible says. So when pride brings destruction and it brings a person down tonight, God is serious about this thing with pride. And he said, I want you to know, if a church is ever going to grow, if you're ever going to grow as a believer, you must not be prideful. If I get prideful in my life, there'll be certain people that I will not witness to, and I will not allow myself to get around them, because I will be prideful. I'll think I'm better than they, and I'm not. Amen? So tonight I want to show you this. Pride brings a person down, and pride is an abomination to the Lord, and it will be punished. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 16 and verse number 5 tonight. Pride is in, it will be punished tonight. Pride is an abomination to the Lord, and it will be punished. Proverbs 16, 5 tonight, and I want you to see this. Pride brings a person down. It'll bring him down. It'll bring an individual down. Nobody has ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ prideful and left the same way. If you've been born again, if you come to Jesus, you can come to him prideful, and if you don't humble yourself, you'll leave the same way you come. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you may come prideful, but you must come to a place in your life where you're humble and you realize that somebody's in greater authority than you are in your life. What he says in 16:5, he says, everyone that is proud in heart is in a 16:5. Everyone, not just a certain group, not certain people, but he says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. He said, man, it's an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. He said, the Lord does not like a prideful look tonight. As we look at that tonight, the third thing I want to go to tonight, number one, pride brings destruction. Number two, pride brings a person down. But number three, a pride brings contention or dispute when pride is there. If there's one place that there's zero tolerance for pride, it ought to be in the body of Christ. And it ought to be in the local body church. There ought to not be no pride in a local body church. When you get in a local body church, and you get in like we are here, churches all around the community, all around the state, all around the nation, and what will tear a church down quicker than anything is when anyone inside that place gets that pride in their life, and that pride will destroy a church quicker than anything tonight. There is zero tolerance. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 13:10 tonight. That pride that will come in a person's life, there's zero tolerance for pride in the body of Christ. Look what he says tonight. Proverbs 13 and verse number 10. We're talking about pride brings contention or dispute. Pride brings that in a person's life. It'll bring contention. You get prideful, you get looking down, I get looking down my nose at you. Listen to me tonight. If I get prideful, it ain't going to be long. There's going to be contention in the walk. It's going to be. Look what he says. Only by pride, verse number 10, you want division in a church? Get you some cliques going on. Get you a clique here, clique there. Get you a clique and you fix, I don't care who's the church, who's the pastor. You can't overcome that in a church. Pride will get in. And tonight, when you get there tonight, there'll be contention, there'll be strife, there'll be bitterness, there'll be that in life. And tonight, as I read that tonight, he says, only by pride cometh contention. By nothing, only by pride tonight. Look at that in verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. He said, only by pride cometh contention. And I want to show you two places in the Bible. As I studied this week, I want to show you two places in the Bible where there were some people that had pride in their life. I'm talking about believers that had pride in their life. And you know what? It made the other believers get uncomfortable. It made the other believers have contention. It had made the other believers, man, hey, I don't know about that fella. I don't know about them. It made division. And tonight, if you'll turn with me to Mark chapter number 10 tonight, I love this tonight, Mark chapter number 10 tonight, and you know where we're going tonight in Mark chapter number 10. We're going to begin reading in verse number 35. We're going to talk about James and John. James and John was two men of God that loved the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, they loved the Lord Jesus. But they come to a place and they ask a question that they had no business asking. And they asked a question in front of the other disciples that they had no business asking. You know what tonight? Let me say this in a nice way. Let me say this in a good way. One may be more anointed than the other person. That's possible, right? One person may be more anointed in an area than another person. We know that. You see people that's anointed, and that's okay. That's okay. But we're all saved the same, right? So if you're anointed, I'm anointed, and you want more anointing, well, I must not be prideful to you. You must not be prideful to me. The same person that gives me my anointing gives you your anointing. It's ever how much I want. It's ever how much I want, he gives. But James and John, they come here, and I want you to get this. Pride brings contention or dispute in the group. We've only got 12 men at this point right here that's following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm talking about following him. I'm talking about being disciples, walking hand in hand with the Savior. And look what he says in verse number 35 of Mark chapter number 10 tonight. Mark 10 and verse 35, the Bible says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." Now, I want you to get this. When I read that, they said, we got something we desire, and we want this from you. Tonight, my question would be this. What do you desire from God? If he says, and he come, he said, what do you want? The man sick with palsy, he said, what do you want? He said, I ain't got nobody to put me in the water when the water's stored. And the Lord said, I didn't ask you that. He said, I said, get up, you're made whole. So when we come here, man, this gets to me tonight. He said, Lord, we want you to grant what we desire. And you know what the Lord said? He didn't say, well, just tell me what you want. Here's what he said. He said to them, what would ye that I should do for you? He didn't say, he said, tell me what you want. Tonight, whatever your desire is, he said, tell me what you want. You make sure tonight, whatever you're telling God you want, won't put you in a prideful state. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Look this. And they said unto him, and this is where pride brings contention. It brings strife and it brings contention. And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit on one on thy right hand and the other on the left. They said, Lord, this is what we want. One wants on the right, one wants on the left. We want to basically be, we want to be that. And look what he says. In thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can I say tonight, be careful what you ask. When I go to the Lord, I don't want to be prideful when I go before him. I don't want him to tell me, you don't know what you're asking. What you're asking is not only going to hurt you, but it's going to hurt everybody around you. Whew. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. They ain't giving up. Most time a prideful person, they won't give up until they get what they want. Whew. And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I'm baptized with shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Look in verse 41. And when the 10 heard it, we're talking about contention. We're talking about contention. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Why? Because they tried to hold themselves to a level way higher than the other ones. They're supposed to be brothers in Christ. They're supposed to be right there hand in hand, loving one another. And you know what he said? He said, hey, Lord, will you elevate us a little higher than these other ones? You know what tonight? God will never elevate me higher than you, and he'll never elevate you higher than me for me to look down my nose to you. Now, he will elevate people to a place. He'll elevate them up to do things that he's called them to do, put them on platforms to reach out and do what they're supposed to do. But he's never put nobody on a platform to look down their nose at their other brothers and sisters in Christ. He's never done that, never will do that. There's one that we look up to, and his name's Jesus. Here's what he said here. Look in the text. He said, and when them ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. So we see the 10, they get here, and they're displeased. Why? Because there's contention. Pride done got in. They wanted something that they couldn't have, but they wanted it tonight. And we'll show you another place in the Bible tonight, if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 11. Now this, when we talked about with Peter and John, when we're here, they're with Jesus. Now we're going to the church. Now we're going over after the day of Pentecost, and we're moving over to 1 Corinthians. And you say, well, after Pentecost, there was no strife. There was no contention. As long as you got people together, they're going to be contention. How you keep them doing it, preacher? You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 11. This is Paul coming right into the church at Corinth. And here's what he said. Let's go to verse number 10. Paul says here about pride brings contention or dispute. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And in verse number 11, Paul says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren. That pride and that contention, and that, what, he ain't talking to the world. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the body of believers. And tonight, if there's one thing that I know and you know tonight the Lord does not like, and that is division or contention in the church. Now, he don't like that tonight. That pride, he don't like that in the church. Look what he says. Now, he says, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contention. There it is. There's contention among you. And now this I say unto you, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. And he says this in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. When Paul knew there was contention in the wall, when Paul knew that there was division, you know what he brought? He just said, hey, I've heard about it, and here's how it's going to handle it. We're going to go to the gospel. There's going to be no division. There's no groups. There's no sections. There's none of this. All we have is Christ Jesus. He said, was you baptized? Was Paul crucified for you? He said, no. Paul wasn't crucified for you. So he said, how do you keep having this in a church? How do you keep having pride in your life? Make sure Jesus is number one. Make sure he's number one. Make sure you're looking to him. Make sure you're looking to everything that he'd have you to do tonight. And tonight, the last thing, I didn't want to leave you there on the pride of life and say, hey, it'll bring destruction, it'll bring a downfall, and there's dispute when it comes. But you've seen it in your life, and I have too. You've seen it. And I have too. You've seen it in church, and I've seen it in church too. I've not been in church a whole lot, but I've been in church long enough to see that there's division. It comes. People don't get what they want. They don't get it the way they like it. It ain't done the way they like it. You know what, tonight, if we don't worry about the way it's done and the way that we like it, and we worry about to make sure Christ is elevated, all right? Now, if he's not in it, he's not being elevated tonight, then we got problems. But if he's being elevated tonight, and he's being uplifted, and he's being what he needs to be tonight, man, there will not be no division in the house of God. If there's one place that we need to come where there is no division, that is the house of God. And he says, you say, well, preacher, what's my job? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to do? He says tonight that pride can be completely removed in a person's life. Pride can be completely removed in a person's life. You know how that is, and I say that to say this, there's things goes on at this church that I don't like. There is. You have over 200, about 230 people on Sunday morning, and you come here on Wednesday night, and you're down to about 100 and something. I don't like that. I mean, I want everybody here every time doors open, same as you do. I mean, I don't like that, but it ain't none of my business. I don't know where they are. I'll pray for them. That's all I can do. Y'all get what I'm saying? I mean, there's things I don't like. But I don't get upset about it. I don't get sideways about it. I don't get prideful about it. Hey, I'm here every time doors open. I'm going to be here. No. I'm just doing what he's called me to do. It ain't nothing to be prideful about. And that's what Paul was telling them. And he said, when we get to that place in our life, we got one thing to do. And that's this. To serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I've learned something, Brother Harold. I've learned this in 10, be here almost 10 years working on it. I've learned something. You can't make nobody be faithful. You can't. You can't make nobody be faithful to the house of God. You can't make nobody be faithful to God. Tonight, there's only one person that you got control over to be faithful, and that's you. That's it. That's it. And at the end of the day, I don't have to give an account for nobody but me. I'm going to give an account for everything I say behind that sacred desk and how I lead this congregation. And I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be an example. I'm going to be here every time I can, do what I'm supposed to do. But I'm not going to do what I do and hold it over somebody's head and say, hey, I'm doing this. Now you need to come up. Maybe their ability ain't there yet. Maybe they ain't come up to that level yet in their Christian life. Maybe they've not come up to that level yet. But am I supposed to have pride in my life and say, well, I do this, 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 this. And because you don't, you're less than me. No. No. He says we have something to do, and that's to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all the days of our life. The other day I was at home and, man, I didn't have to come to Jesus meeting. You ever have one of them and nobody had to call it, but you just had it on your own? You ever have one of them? If you ain't, you need to get one of them, man. I'll tell you what, it's good. I'm telling you, if you ain't never had one, it's good. And we got cameras at the front door and we got cameras at the back door. And the reason we got cameras at the front door and we got cameras at the back door is not because we're proud and we're very proud of our place that we got up there, but we don't want nobody to steal what we got. Y'all know what I'm saying? And man, I'd had one of them Jesus moments and I didn't know nobody was around, and there was nobody around. But Brandy texted me and said, what are you hollering and screaming and singing about? That camera's picking it up and it's notifying my phone. I said, no, it ain't. She said, yes, it is. I said, that thing is just keep dinging. Like somebody's on the front porch. You're stomping and shouting in the house. And said, I've got on there and listened. And said, well, what are you doing? Who's there? I said, there ain't nobody here. It's just me and Jesus. When you have one of them moments, that pride won't be in your life. You see, I don't get loud in here, and I don't jump around. I don't hoop and holler just here. If I did, that'd be prideful. That'd be a prideful look. Well, I'm just doing it to impress folk. Folks, tonight, I want you to know I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I was going to hell, now I'm going to heaven, and I can't help it when he gets on me. I just can't help it. But I do know this tonight, I'm just old sinner saved by grace, and if I ain't careful, I'll be right where Peter was. I'll deny him. I'll get there, I promise you I will. If I ain't careful, I'll get right where James and John, I'll get right there, and I'll think I'm better than somebody else, and you will too if you ain't careful. Say, oh no, not me, preacher. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. I can't believe they'd do that. Won't be long, you'll be doing the same thing. You say, well, what's my job tonight? We're going to look in the book of Micah, closing out, what our job is tonight to keep them getting private. What our job is. Very simple, very easy. And he said tonight, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, everything that gets you and trips you up is caught in them three. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Have you ever seen somebody, you met them, and you get talking about them? Y'all don't do that. I know y'all don't. You get chewing them up one side and down the other. Y'all ever done that? Y'all be honest to it. But y'all know what we do. See somebody, man, we just talk about them. I mean, up one side and down. I can't believe they'd post that. I don't even have Facebook, and I know they post it. Lord, I've done got too honest tonight. I'm the only one that does that. I'm the only one that does that. I can't believe that a Christian would do that. What are you talking about, preacher? You think it could be that I'm a little prideful in my life saying, hey, I can't believe that I wouldn't do that. No way I'd do that. There's no way I'd do that. What am I setting myself up for? A fall. See, I'm not, when I'm looking at that person and what they're doing, my eyes ain't on Jesus. It ain't on Jesus. When I take it off, and I can't believe they would do that. Well, my eyes ain't on the master. I'm over here in something I ain't supposed to be in. And he said, I've got one job tonight. Micah chapter number 6. Let me show you this tonight. Micah 6:8. And if I get here and I can just stay here, and I'm going to be honest tonight, pride is not what the Lord requires. And it can be done away with, but I'm going to be honest tonight, it's hard to deal with. That pride that's in our life is hard to deal with from time to time. Brother Shea Taylor, I don't like to lose. You don't either. I don't like to lose. But I can't always be a winner. But can I say tonight, Jesus is always a winner. He is always right where you need him to be. Micah chapter number 6 and verse number 8. He said, preacher, I don't really know. How do I get over that? Here it is. Micah 6:8 tonight. Here's what the Bible says. Pride is not what the Lord requires. Micah 6:8. And he says this, and he has showed thee. He showed you what it is. He says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? What does the Lord require of you and me? After you got saved, what does he require of you and me? Yes, ma'am. Faithfulness. He does. He said he'd have obedience over sacrifice every day. Faithfulness. Yes, ma'am. You think about that tonight. What is required of you as a child of God tonight? And what does the Lord require thee but to do justly? That means just to do right. Just to do right. Not if your neighbor's doing right. Not if your buddies are doing right. He said, what has he showed you, old man? When I read that, what has he showed me? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To be humble, I cannot be prideful. I cannot be having the lust of the flesh eating at my life. I cannot let the lust of the eyes take over my life. And I cannot let that pride of life take over. I must get where Micah said here, oh man, what is good and what did the Lord require thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I said a while ago about being faithful to the house of God. When I got saved and born again, my preacher never told me to read the Bible. He never told me to come to church. He never told me to pray. He never told me none of that. You know what instilled that in me right here? The Word of God. When I got born again, something came inside of me, which was the Holy Spirit. And when he come inside of me, he's my school teacher. He's my schoolmaster. And he's what teaches me. And he's what shows me when I get in that prideful place. Last night when we went to Broken Lives and we go there and we preach on a monthly basis, when we go into that place, these men have nothing. I'm talking about they have nothing over there. They literally don't have nothing. The clothes they get out of a room where people's donated. They have nothing. So why when we go in that place, we must not go in with pride. We must just go in under the power of the Holy Ghost. Love on them men. Show them men. But I want to say this tonight. When we come into a church, we come into this place, we come into this setting, we must get to a place where we just walk humbly with our Lord. I shared this with you the other night, and Kaylee killed me. She told me, Shana's sitting back there. She is with his sons. Hey, if you're going to be in the house, you're going to get in the sermon, right? Right? So, we're talking about just do right. Walk justly. Do right. And she, after a ball game, I probably shouldn't tell this, but boy, it's good. It's good to do what's right. After the ball game, she said, I want to go over there and eat. And I said, okay, sounds good. 10 o'clock. Be home 10 o'clock. And she said, it's 9 o'clock. There's no way I can get there, cook food, eat, and get home by 10. And I said, okay. She said, I'll just come home. I said, okay, just come home. We ain't going to fuss. I don't fuss with my kid. I'm not going to fuss with her. She's not the parent. God's not going to fuss with you. He's not going to fuss with me. He's the Father. And when he said, I thought everything was good. I done dozed off. Brandy said, she ain't home yet. And that's why I thought she said she was coming home. Well, she was. She ain't text her mama back. I pick up the phone, going to call her. And Brandy, here's what Brandy said. She said, well, she might not answer. I said, she better answer it. I don't know where she's at, but she better answer it. Tonight, God might be calling somebody about pride and saying, hey, you better answer. Because it's got a hold of you, and if you don't get it off you, it's going to destroy you. She picked up the phone, and she said, what? I said, this is Daddy. I know. I said, where are you at? She said, well, I ain't got to be home at 10. I said, no. When you said I'm coming home, that meant you're coming home now. You're on the way now. No, you're on the way home now. When she got home, I told her. I said, baby, the reason I do that is here's the reason. You say, you're a tough parent. You're rough. No, I ain't, man. I've been 17, 18-year-old, and you have too. I told more lies than this church can hold. Brother Harold, is that not true? I got to love her. Just as God loves you, I got to show her mercy. But I got to love her. And all I can think about is from Sullivan to Detroit. Maybe she wrecked. No cell phone service. Lay on the side of the road dead. Daddy don't know. Brother Lee, you know what I'm talking about. It'll drive you crazy. So why do you do that, preacher? I don't want to get prideful. But I want her to know she's got a daddy that loves her. And if she's not careful, danger, destruction, a downfall will come. If we don't obey what the Lord says, it'll come in my life, and it'll come in your life. And tonight, what I'm trying to tell you this is, you've got one thing to do. That's just to walk right. Love the Lord. Love mercy. Love grace. Love truth. And do what's right. I tell her this all the time, and this is what the Lord tells you. If he tells you to do it, you will never get in trouble. But when he tells you you can't do it, you can't do it, because if you do it, you'll be in trouble. She come home. That was Sunday. That was, I don't even know what day it was. We got going to Tupelo Monday. Had Kyler in the back. Had her in the back. And she said, what's your problem? You mad? I said, I'm not mad. I'm just not talking. Well, when you quit talking, usually you're mad. So I looked up in the mirror. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I looked at Kyler. I said, Kyler, you think I'm mad? No, sir, I don't. I said, you're exactly right, son. I ain't mad. Ain't nothing to be mad about. Folks, tonight, what I'm trying to tell you is God's never mad at you. He loves you, and he wants the best that you have. He wants to give you the best that there is, and he loves you tonight. He loves you, and he loves me, and he does not want that pride to swell up in my life. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I love you so much.